At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Football Full Circle, College Football Full Circle here for the next hour. If you missed anything on the Saturday slate, college football, we got you covered. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Frank behind the scenes in the producer's role. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us, Mark. It was a heck of a Saturday, man. And I know you you made some profits, so I'll throw it over to you. What'd you take away from the Saturday college football slate?
It was a great weekend of college football. I mean, it was just, we saw some really good competitive games between very good teams. The Pac-12 in its final year, the Conference of Champions showed up and showed out the way you expected it to with some of the bigger games there. I know Colorado got blown out and brought back to earth, but still, Oregon is legit. They are the real deal. I think we learned a lot about a lot of different programs here as we start to hit conference play in earnest.
Absolutely. It's wild to see this Pac-12 end. And I think you can make the argument they're the best conference in college football, Mark. I mean, I know the SEC, maybe if you want.
No, right now they are the best conference in college football. The SEC is not close.
If you went top to bottom, just put them up, number one versus number one, number two versus number two, you think the Pac-12 would beat the SEC more times than the opposite?
Yes, very much so.
That'd actually be really fun. I wish they would do that. You know, they do it in college basketball, kind of match them up.
Georgia might lose to USC. It's not an offense you want to trust. It's not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm with you. Pac-12 was great. They really are. This year in particular, I think they've been underrated for quite some time, but just kind of only making the playoffs, what, twice or maybe three times? Not very often, and not performing very well when they did. Mm-hmm. But guys, we are going to recap some big games here on the Saturday slate. I mean, I'm seeing at the top of the card here, Florida State and Clemson. We saw this one come right down to the end, literally go to overtime, and we bring up college football kickers. And there was a tough miss here from the Clemson kicker that I'm sure he's hearing all about it on his social media and walking across campus. Florida State went off as the 2.5-point favorite. They win the game 31-24 in overtime from Clemson, South Carolina. Florida State still undefeated on the season. Two close wins here the last 2 weeks, though, Mark. What'd you take away from Clemson, South Carolina today?
Look, I mean, it was a coin flip game. There's arguments to say both sides were the right side. I mean, you know, to Florida State's defensive credit, they get a sack strip fumble and return it into the end zone to tie that game up at 24. You know, otherwise, you know, Clemson was driving down the field when that happened, and they might have been able to put the game away at that point in time. But, you know, Florida State hung tough, and this is the kind of game that, guess what, Drew? It doesn't matter how this game actually unfolded. In 3 or 4 weeks, when Florida State is still undefeated, and then they go beat Duke, when they host them and then they go beat Miami, the game is not going to matter. It's just going to be a zero in the loss column. And ultimately, that's all that matters for Florida State, a team that I think is going to make the college football playoff. They're going to be undefeated when they go into the ACC championship game. And I think they probably are going to earn a one seed.
That'd be something. I mean, what a comeback for this FSU football program, really, because it's been a little while. I know last year they took a step in the right direction, but I'm going down their list. I mean, you think there's a more of a chance that they finish undefeated rather than having one or more losses? You think they're actually going to kind of what? They got Duke, top 20
and
team.
Miami.
They got Miami, top 20 team, and they got Florida too. Florida's look pretty good.
They're going to beat the pants off Florida. That's not even a question. In reality, yeah. Well, I mean, look, Florida's ranked now. I don't know if you saw that. They cracked the top 25. They
dominated Tennessee. They made Tennessee look bad.
I think that's a little bit more of Joe Milton and Josh Heupel getting a little bit exposed. I mean, Billy Napier is a good defensive coach, so I don't want to take anything away from him. I mean, that's his bread and butter is the defensive side of the ball. So, but when you don't have to deal with Hendon Hooker and you're dealing with Joe Milton, it's just a little bit of a downgrade at quarterback. And so from that standpoint, I look at it and I go that this is a team right now in Florida that has everything in front of them. They have no more tough road games left. Other than Florida. But again, that's not a game that really counts for anything, right? As far as them winning the ACC. And even if they lose the game in the Swamp, which I don't think they will because I think they're flat out a better team, they would be 11-1 at that point in time and undefeated in conference play going into the ACC championship game.
So the ACC championship game, I mean... Yeah, the ACC doesn't have divisions anymore. So,
by the way, it won't be a rematch with Clemson because they have two losses already.
Two ACC losses.
Could be a rematch with Miami or Duke. But point simply being that, you know, Clemson is now out of the ACC picture without a lot of help.
Who do you think is the second best team in the ACC?
Clemson. But, you know, they had three red zone turnovers in the game against Duke, and it cost them the game. They threw for 200 yards. They ran for 200 yards. They should have won the game. If they don't turn the ball over, they beat Duke. They don't beat them by a lot. They don't cover that number, but they probably win the game.
It's going to be a tight race coming down the end. Duke, Miami for that number two slot in the ACC. Maybe even their fan base is thinking the number one slot, that FSU Miami game. Not last year, but usually a competitive matchup. It's going to be a fun race down the ACC. If it is against Miami Duke again, it would be on a neutral site. I believe it's in Charlotte.
Yeah.
The ACC is actually one of the conferences. They should do it at the home of the top-ranked university, in my opinion. I think that would kind of be better. I remember some ACC championship games there in Charlotte where it was half full in the stadium, and That kills the atmosphere. I mean,
you could argue they could pick a better venue than Charlotte. No disrespect to Charlotte, but you know, a little bit of a bigger city. I don't know really where else you'd do it. I mean, other than Atlanta, to be honest with you. But and obviously
or
you
Miami,
can. So
if they did it at Hard Rock,
That would be great. Yeah, but again, that's a de facto home game if Miami gets there. They do it
that's
at
true.
The Panther Stadium because in theory it's not a home game for anybody.
Right.
But in reality, half the 40% of the tickets go to one team, 40% of the tickets go to the other, and 20 are out for public. So, you know, the stadium should be split. I mean, heck, Georgia plays ACC championship and SEC championship games in Atlanta, and that stadium is equal.
Yeah.
Right? So, absolutely. Venue.
For sure. I mean, when the Miami-Florida State game happens in Hard Rock, there's a whole lot of Florida State fans there. And it would be the same thing with Virginia Tech or Clemson. Any of these bigger fan-based programs in the ACC would pick up their full allotment. So it's not like it would be a full home game for Miami. But
right. Hey,
either way, guys, we got more college football recaps on the other side here. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, short break. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in SportsGrid. football full circle, college football full circle. That is, I am Drew Martin at Drew Martin Betts on Twitter. We got Frank behind the scenes in the producer's role, and we are recapping the Saturday slate at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TVs, where you can find Sports Grid on social media, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Next game up, let's head to the SEC in the West Division, Auburn and Texas A&M from Saturday. It was 27-10. That was the Aggies on top of the Auburn Tigers. One thing, I watched every game or every play of this game, guys, and it finishes 27-10. One thing I took away was Auburn's offense has a huge problem throwing the football. Peyton Thorne, the transfer from Michigan State, I don't know if he was just playing timid, what the case is, and some of the credit needs to be given to Texas A&M. But they couldn't throw the football at all. It was almost one of those things where it was like, man, I feel like they would be better off offensive production just to run the ball every single play. Like just do, you know, the zone read and either the quarterback keep it or give it to the running back, you know, do sweeps, do ISOs, dives. They were moving the ball vastly better on the ground. And then, you know, they bring in Robbie Ashford, the backup quarterback. He can use his legs a little bit more. They even got all the way down to the third string quarterback in freshman holder Griner there. Max Johnson came in for Connor Wegman for Texas A&M because Wegman got injured. A lot of people really high on Wegman. Max Johnson looked good too. So this is something to watch here in the quarterback room for Texas A&M. I thought both quarterbacks looked pretty decent, especially Max Johnson. The lefty, he was on target, guys. We had 15 carries for Moss, their running back. He had just short of 100 yards overall. Look, Auburn has gone into College Station and won four of the out of the last five times doing so, but this year it was not close. Texas A&M was the better team.
Yeah.
Mark, not sure if you got a chance to catch this game. There was a lot of good games on. This is one I was watching very intently. Did you take anything away from College Station?
No, to your same point. They should just run a triple option offense with Robbie Ashburn at quarterback. Like, just do that. They'd probably be more effective that way offensively. But it's, you know, it feels like a very short number next week hosting Georgia. They're only catching 17. I would have had this thing around 20 and a half, 21.
You know what? It's interesting to – I didn't see that. But I will say – and you know this. I mean, this is a pretty big rivalry. You know, this is yeah. The battle of brothers, they call it. You know, these two schools are not very far apart.
Crazy things happen at Jordan-Hare. Crazy things happen.
That was my next point. That's a tough place to play. It really is. I mean, when that place gets rocking, they have – I always say this. Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama has the best, like – pyrotechnics and like video boards and music out of any stadium I've been to. It like really is something to see that place really popping off. So this is going to be a tough trip for Georgia. I mean, how do you think it plays out though, Mark? You think Georgia just kind of runs them off the field, pushes them around up front, or you think Auburn could kind of hang with them?
I severely question if their offense can get to 17, like that means Georgia can only score 35. I don't know if they can get to 17. If we assume that A&M's defense is every bit as good as Georgia's, and I think they're pretty equal, with probably a nod to Georgia being a little bit better. It's a tough ask for Auburn to score that many points. I don't think Georgia's offense is very good. I genuinely don't. So I wonder, you know, if they're going to get to 40 in this game. If they do get to 40, forget it. Auburn has no shot to cover. But that's how the math is going to work out for this one. If this number's 21, the math looks completely different. I would have had this number at 21, 21, somewhere in that range. That's where I would have made this number.
I kind of like the under. What is it, 47?
47 and a half. Looking at it, hang on a second here. Is it in the 50s? Let me check. Hold on.
I just saw. Auburn's defense looked pretty good.
46 like their linebacking and a half. Wow. Core.
Yeah, Yeah, guys, I would look towards the under in that Auburn-Georgia game. 3:30 Eastern, CBS SEC game of the week in Jordan-Hare. The Georgia Bulldogs going on the road. Tough place to play. I just don't think Auburn has any offense. I wouldn't be surprised if the final score is 20-0. It really could be 20-0. That wouldn't be, like, terribly surprising. I'd go towards the under, guys. We got more games to recap here. Mark, we got Colorado and Oregon, 42-6, the Oregon Ducks on top of the Colorado Buffaloes. Deion Sanders, it's been a heck of a fire, a spark at the beginning of the season, kind of went out here in Autzen Stadium. Oregon's a wagon, they really are. 42-6, final score, game stays under, Oregon covers the 22. Did you take anything away from Autzen Stadium on Saturday?
Yeah, we're still having the wrong conversation. Because the conversation was about Colorado and how they've come back down to earth. The conversation is about Colorado this, Colorado that. The conversation should be, is Oregon a national championship contender? And the answer is yes.
I could see it. I mean, that offense, Bo Nix, he fits very well. That is almost not the same player that was at Auburn, but, you know, years ago.
He's like 28. He's older than most NFL quarterbacks at this stage, so there's that.
Yeah, he can dominate Pac-12 defenses. He's a good quarterback too. He makes good decisions. Yeah. He's gotten accurate. He still doesn't have a great deep ball.
Yeah, I don't think that he will be, you know, anything higher than a third round pick in the NFL if he gets drafted at all. I think he will, especially if they make a good championship run. He'll start to garner some more attention. But to your point, you know, I mean, he can make all the throws. He's certainly mobile, can run with his legs. And he's running a very similar pro system because of what Dan Lanning and company are running there in Oregon. So I think in general, you know, Bo Nix should be garnering more Heisman attention. He should be garnering more attention in general, as should Oregon. But Oregon's not cracking the top five anywhere near it right now.
It will be interesting to see how their season kind of ends up. You'd like to think they'd be in the Pac-12 championship game. I'm pulling up their schedule here, Mark. And, well, they got Washington in a couple weeks. I mean, the Pac-12 is just littered with ranked teams, so they're going to have the competition.
Right. There's going to be some cannibalization in the Pac-12, and that's going to cause people to say, oh, the conference isn't that strong. Oh, the conference isn't that good, blah, 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 blah. But in reality, it is. It's very good. You just have a lot of ranked teams that are going to beat each other.
Oh, my gosh, Mark. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ranked opponents on their schedule, including at Salt Lake City against Utah. They might actually go off as the underdog in that one. And they're at Washington. I didn't realize that their schedule was this tough. They might drop one or two.
Yeah. I mean, Washington, USC, and Oregon, the fact that none of those teams are in the top five, and Utah, I mean, 7, 8, 9, 10 are all Pac-12 teams. Washington, USC, Oregon, and Utah. Now, I don't think Utah belongs there. But those three, Washington, USC, and Oregon, all should be much closer to the top five than what they are. I think all those teams beat Penn State. I think all those teams would beat Ohio State. And it'd probably be Texas.
Something to watch down the stretch, guys, in the Conference of Champions, literally down the stretch of the survival of the conference. It will be interesting to see what the Mountain West and Pac-12 do. I guess there's technically only two Pac-12 schools left, but something to watch here in the offseason. But it's a great run down the stretch. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Recapping more games on the other side. College football full circle. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back in Sports Grid, college football full circle. If you missed anything on the Saturday slate, we got you covered. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Follow him on Twitter. At Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. We got at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV as well. Frank holding it down in the producer's role. Sirius Channel 159 listeners, thanks for joining us. Next game up, we are staying in the Conference of Champions. This was a 7 o'clock Eastern kick, Mark, 4 o'clock Pacific. Oregon State at Washington State, 38-35. That was the Cougars winning in Pullman when they did so as three-point underdogs. 57 was the total, so up and over. And the home dog was barking, that being the Cats in the Cougars of Washington State. The Pac-2 teams, the two teams that are going to try to keep the conference together in the future, went at each other on Saturday, and it was a competitive game. Came right down to the end here, Mark. What'd you take away from Pullman, Washington on Saturday?
Styles make fights. This game was on my card. I had Wazoo plus the points. I know it moved to 3 right closer to kickoff. But, you know, this is the passing attack of Washington State against the ground and pound of Oregon State. And Washington State won out. Look, this is not a team, the Cougars, that a lot of people saw coming as far as their ability to, you know, play at the level they did. Now they've beaten a Wisconsin team. They've beaten – that was ranked. They beat an Oregon State team that was ranked. So they're a team that's going to have to be contended with. I don't think that they have what it takes to beat, you know, the top three teams you talked about before in Washington, USC, and Oregon. Thankfully for them, I think they avoid USC and Oregon. I think they still have to play Washington, obviously. But point simply being that, you know, this is a passing attack that's really, really hard to stop. They don't have much of a run game to speak of there in Pullman, but Cam Ward, as you see him there on the screen, might be one of the best quarterbacks that no one's talking about in the country.
Yeah, the FCS transfer came over with the offensive coordinator, and this offense has really been kind of lightning in a bottle there for Washington State. Oregon State at the same time, they can move the ball. Two good teams in the Pac-12 and a good conference, something to watch down the stretch. Staying in the back Pac-12 here, heading to the South Division, Utah hosting UCLA. It was 14-7. Utes beat the Bruins. They did so as 3.5-point favorites, 50.5 being the total. Game stays well under. Utes win and cover. Tough place to play there, Rice Eccles in Salt Lake City. And the Bruins with a young quarterback didn't look too good on offense against that Utes defensive front. What'd you take away from Salt Lake City on Saturday, Mark?
Yeah, the true freshman, Dante Moore, for UCLA. Probably going to be a very good quarterback in a couple of years, but still getting through those sort of freshman bumps and bruises. You mentioned Utah being a tough place to play. Kyle Whittingham still is a very physical team and a very physical defense. Utah had a ton of questions coming into this year about what they were going to be, and they still don't have Cam Rising back under center yet. Their best weapon on offense still isn't playing for them yet. They've managed to win games against Baylor. They've managed to win this game. You know, they win the opener against Florida. So, you know, if you had Utah over 8.5 wins, you're feeling great about life right now because they're going to clear that number with the wins that they have so far. But the big boys are still on deck for the Utes, and we'll find out how good they really are.
It's going to be fun to watch down the Pac-12 stretch here. Utah, you know, Oregon, we got USC all vying for this top spot in the Pac-12, amongst others. Hey, maybe one of those being Washington. They put up 59 points yesterday against Cal. That was a Cal defense that actually looked decent coming into this one. Washington wins at 59-32, Mark. Not sure if you got eyes on this one. It was so many good games. I was just going to throw another Pac-12 game at you if you took anything away from Washington putting up just short of 60 points.
You have to find a team right now that can keep up with Washington's offense. That's the real question here. Is there? It's not about slowing them down per se. It's about, do you have an offense that can keep up? Because you got to do two things to beat Washington. You got to stop them, but then you got to score at the rate that they can score. So, I mean, look, if you hold Washington to 33, 37 in that range, that's a game you have to win, but you have to score 35 or 40 in order to be able to do it. And there's just not a lot of teams out there that can do that and do it quickly, right? Because it's hard that you have to be able to have quick strike ability to score the way Washington can. So, you know, I looked at what I stayed off of it. But I was so close because I you know, I was finishing up the Ohio State-Notre Dame game, and I really wanted to take Washington first half, but it was 10.5, and the half scared me off it a little bit, thinking that maybe, you know, Cal would be able to, you know, figure out a way to slow them down early, and they might pull away late. But, you know, it was one of those things where I felt like it was more of a backdoor situation. But even at 20.5, I told everybody I spoke to, I said, I think that number is way short. I don't think that. You have to play catch up with Washington. That's the only way to beat them is to be able to score at the rate that they can.
Mark, another big one here on Saturday. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, hosting Ohio State, the Buckeyes. And this one came right down to the end, literally. Last play of the game, 17-14, Buckeyes on top of the Irish. They go into South Bend. They come out with the win. Not dominating fashion by any means here, but you take anything away from the Buckeyes and the Irish on Saturday night?
Notre Dame should have won this game. Notre Dame was the right side. They outplayed Ohio State for a better part of that game. And look, they dropped an interception that would have ended the game. To me, that wasn't even the part in the final drive for Ohio State that bothered me. It didn't even bother me that they had 10 guys on the field on the last play of the game. What bothered me is that they were third and 19, and they were at like the 23-yard line. And Notre Dame decided to sit in this soft defense, and they had a safety 7 yards deep in the end zone. Ohio State had no timeouts left. All you had to do was not let them get the first down, and the clock continues to run, and they probably might not get another playoff. If they do, it's hurried, and they don't have time to set themselves. Or they have to get up there, because they can't spike it, because it would have been fourth down. So you allowed Ohio State the time and the situation to come up with a play because they stopped the clock to spot the ball in college. That was the cardinal sin they committed there. You should have had everybody at that first down marker and never let any. Look, if they were going to get in the end zone, they were going to get in the end zone. If they were going to throw it into the end zone, that's on them. I wouldn't have thrown a play into the end zone there because it was four down territory regardless. So the one thing you couldn't have let happen in that spot was them get the first down. Notre Dame let them get the first down, and it cost them the game.
Mark, do you think the Irish, if they win the rest of their games on their schedule, will make the playoffs?
No.
That's tough to take, man, especially after a loss of that fashion.
I mean, so the only real game they have left is USC. So are you going to hang your hat on the USC win to say that's enough to put them in the playoff over Florida State, Georgia, Washington, and whoever else is out there? And Texas, if they're an undefeated Big 12 team? No, I don't see it. If you have, again, you what you need is help. You need the Big 12 champ to have a, you need Texas to have a loss. You need the Pac-12 champion to have a loss, which might be very possible, right? Because they'll cannibalize each other a little bit. SEC champ is going. We assume it's going to be Georgia. And Florida State will probably go. So put their resumes up against everybody else. All those teams play better competition, especially if the Pac-12 team has one loss. And that conference,
yeah,
come on, they're in.
Yeah.
And if Texas has one loss, kind of, Texas, no.
Yeah, but if Texas has two losses, you know,
well, it's a lot of help.
Fact, maybe. Yeah. I doubt there'll be two SEC teams this year.
I don't think there will be either.
So I don't think the door is shut on Notre Dame making the college football playoff, but you're right. You bring up some good points. It's going to be rough. They're going to have to look good in that USC game and win all the rest of their games, can, you know, in decisive fashion. Something to watch. Another game, 3:30 Eastern in the SEC. Ole Miss and Alabama. Get your popcorn ready here, Mark Cino, as Alabama wins 24-10. Nick Saban versus Lane Kiffin. One of the more marquee head coaching matchups. Alabama wins. They cover the 7. Game stays under 55. Did you take anything away from Tuscaloosa, Alabama?
Lane Kiffin will never beat Nick Saban. That's what I took away. This was the year to do it, and he couldn't do it. And his offense only scored 10 points. I didn't even get a chance to truly watch the game in earnest because so many other things were going on at that time that I was more invested in monetarily. But the bottom line here is that this was the only chance Lane Kiffin, the best chance he had to go beat this team, and he couldn't do it. So, you know, may as well mark it down as a loss every year for Ole Miss. They're not going to beat Alabama.
Lane Kiffin versus his old boss, Nick Saban, who, if you remember right, showed him the door, fired him the week before the national championship game. Or not the week before, but in between the conference championship game and the national championship game, when Lane Kiffin took the job initially at FAU. He was the offensive coordinator for Alabama, and Nick Saban was just like, yeah, we're you're done here. We're going with Steve Sarkisian as our OC now. Kind of made for an awkward situation. Do you remember that, Mark? What was that, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. I think Kiffin knew he was on his way out anyway, so it didn't really bother him per se. But and look, it worked out for Kiffin. He ended up in a good spot. He's at a place where he can stay as long as he likes. They're not going to get rid of Lane Kiffin. He brings excitement. Ole Miss hasn't had this kind of excitement in football since Eli Manning was there. So there's a reason to tune in with Ole Miss at Lane Kiffin. He's always a draw.
Oh, yeah. He's hilarious. And absolutely. And to tell you the truth, it probably actually helped him because he got the recruiting at FAU more. They won two Conference USA, the conference championship. And then, you know, obviously it got him the job at Ole Miss. So, yeah, I don't think it's any like – it's just interesting to see those two go at each other. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Short break. More recaps on the other side, guys. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, recapping the Saturday slate. If you missed anything, you are listening to The Right Show. Sirius Channel 159 listeners, radio affiliates across the country, thanks for joining us. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. We got next game up in the Big Ten. Blowout City in the whiteout. Penn State winning 31-0. Over the Iowa Hawkeyes. 38.5 was the total. Game stays under. Penn State wins and covers the two touchdowns easily. Did you take anything away from Penn State here with Iowa going down big, Mark?
Yeah, it's got to be really awkward for Kirk Ferentz to have to fire his son at the end of the year. That's what I took away.
How do you think that conversation's going to go?
If you're not aware, Brett? Is that his name, Ferentz? His son, Brent or Brett, whatever it is. Anyway, Kirk Ferentz's son is the offensive coordinator of Iowa. He now has it in his contract this year. They have to average, I think, 25 points a game this year in order for him to keep his job, and that's not going to happen. That shutout certainly kills the average.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's going to have to be putting up some big numbers towards the end of the season, which we thought they would be able to.
He's
going to
take on Northwestern and Rutgers and beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, run it up. I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, that's something to keep in mind for like handicapping and betting purposes. Maybe use it to your advantage. Lay a big number with Iowa, but they did not look good. Really overwhelmed by Penn State, and 31-0 was the final. Another game here in the Pac-12, Mark, USC and Arizona State. This was late night in the desert in Tempe, 42-28. USC puts up 42 points, but doesn't come anywhere near covering. Total goes over. Arizona State was able to put some scores in and stay within the number. If you bet the Sun Devils, you take anything away from Tempe last night?
Yeah. USC's defense is still a problem because Arizona State does not have an offense that would be considered a Power 5 offense, period. And the fact that they were able to put up 28 on this defense is a little bit alarming to me. It just is. You know, USC has got to figure out a way to get stops. Because you're going to start to play better teams along the way. And guess what? You're not going to be able to separate from them that easily when you can't stop anybody. So that's the biggest concern I have for the Trojans is their defense. And if they can get it right, then, you know, they have a very good chance at you know, winning the Pac-12. But right now, I mean, USC doesn't have to play Washington this year, right? So I think they avoid them this year, if I recall correctly. I know they avoid Oregon or Utah. Is it one or the other? Maybe it's Utah that they avoid. But regardless, they're not going to be able to stop some of these Pac-12 offenses. Imagine if they – I don't think they play Washington State either. But, you know, a pass offense like that, it's just like one of those things where, you know – if you can't stop anybody, you know, you're always going to be in a closer game than expected.
Yeah, you're right. They don't play Washington State. They do play Washington and Oregon in consecutive weeks towards the end of the season. They got Notre Dame and they do have Utah. They do get them at home, the Utes. This is a tough schedule for USC. I wouldn't be surprised if they drop one, if not two or more.
No, because their defense is a little bit of a liability. I mean, their offense is great, and Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick, and that's fine. And Lincoln Riley certainly knows how to run an offense. However, comma, you know, you have to be able to stop people, and they can't.
Actually, they're at Colorado in Boulder next week, this upcoming week. 10 a.m. local time kick. Why are they doing that?
Terrible decision.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Colorado fans. It'd be such a better atmosphere, at least like 3:30, you know? I don't know why they do that, guys. But, hey, anyway, it's for the TV product, 12 noon Eastern time, and it's USC at Colorado. Let's see here, Mark. Any other? Michigan and Rutgers, I think, is the last one on the slate we had teed up here for the show. 12 noon Eastern, this was in the Big House, 31-7. Total of 44.5. It stays under. Depends where you jumped on this number. You either won, lost, or pushed with Rutgers or Michigan tickets. So remember, numbers are important here as it closes 24.5, depending on what sports book we're talking about, Mark. 24.5 at FanDuel. So you lost if you bet the Wolverines, and you won if you bet the Scarlet Knights. Do you have any action in this one? What'd you take away from the Big House, Mark?
I don't think an over is hit in Michigan yet. I think they're 4-0 to the under. And this is a 14-7 game at half in favor of Michigan. But, like, Michigan unders seem to be, like, bankroll right now.
Okay. Something to circle here, guys. Michigan, that defense, hey, holding Rutgers to 7 points and staying under by, what, a full touchdown under. So you had some wiggle room to stay under. That's always something to notice as well. Mark, I'm not sure if you've gotten a chance to look at this upcoming week's action, but Now last week, I mean, you can make the argument it was the best college football slate in two decades just because of the number of top ranked teams playing each other. But for this upcoming week, hey, there's some big games as well, man. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You like any games that jump off the board at you here with some time to spare?
Oregon laid 21 points at home to Colorado with a legitimate quarterback and a legitimate offense. They're only laying 24.5 at Stanford. 28 should be that number. That's a very short number compared to, you tell me it's only a field goal difference. I mean, I get we're going on the road here, but even if you gave, even if you took 3 points away, you're telling me that Stanford and Colorado are only separated by 6 points? If we use some transitive properties here, if Colorado goes to Stanford and plays that game there, they're way more than a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of reasons why, like a sharp angle. I remember whenever Stanford played Oregon in the past, and that was back when like the two were top-notch programs in the Pac-12, they would let the grass grow and they wouldn't cut it to slow down Oregon. That's just one angle I'm thinking about in the top off the top of my head, the home field advantage. But that was when Stanford was a lot better, you know, almost like opponents here. I'm with you. The athletic ability heavily favors Oregon, so I don't know that would matter that much.
Very interested in the line is curious. Notre Dame's laying 5.5 at Duke. How does Notre Dame respond to that game?
That line is very telling. That was what I was going to bring up, Mark. Why is that line only 4.5? Why isn't that 9 or 10? And I'll tell you why. It's because Duke's pretty good, and they know that.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that line?
Duke would be my first initial, you know, I have to take a little bit harder look at Duke's defense and how they're going to be able to play against Notre Dame. But Washington is laying 17.5 at Arizona, total of 69.5. I would look to the over there. If I could stay at 69.5, I think that's probably the, you know, way I would look at that game.
You think Arizona will be able to do their part offensively?
They should be able to get to 20.
Okay. So Washington 50 burger then.
Oklahoma is laying 19.5 at home to Iowa State. Iowa State's got a good defense, but they just got, like, you know, embarrassed this weekend. Right? Was it this weekend they got embarrassed, or was it last weekend? I forget which weekend it was. Georgia laying 17 Auburn. We talked about that game already. Michigan and Nebraska, a total of 41 in this game. Do you believe that? A total of 41?
Well, you just talked about it. Michigan kind of controlling the tempo, four straight unders.
Boston College is a favorite against Virginia. That's interesting.
Virginia's bad.
Virginia's very, very bad, but they played a very close game with NC State on Friday night. Florida is getting 3 points from Kentucky. That is interesting to me. Florida just cracked the rankings this week. Yeah, I know Kentucky sort of embarrassed Vanderbilt, but I think Vanderbilt's defense is really bad. And I don't think that they are equipped to score that much against a defense like Florida. Florida feels like the right side there, especially a revenge spot. Didn't Kentucky beat Florida last year down in the swamp?
Kentucky's beat Florida a bunch recently.
So, big revenge spot there for Florida. Texas laying 17 at home against Kansas. I think that's a number. If you want Texas, you better jump on it now at 17. Oregon State is a favorite against Utah. Coming off a loss, really? But heading back to Corvallis.
That seems head-scratching to me.
1.5-point favorite. Well, tells you that this is the game where Utah might get tripped up.
Is Oregon State that good?
Listen, they run the ball really well. You're talking about a very smash-mouth kind of game, 45.5 the total. You know, under might be the play there as well. But here's the thing. You have to wait, because if Cam Rising is announced as a starter, that line's going to flip.
I guess getting Utah outside of Salt Lake City, short week with travel, all of that kind of adding into it.
It's a Friday night game. But Oregon State was on the road last week, so, you know.
That's a big one. Friday Night Lights, Oregon and Oregon State hosting Utah.
Another SEC game between Arkansas and Texas A&M. Arkansas is catching 6.5 at home. You might be in the double letdown spot here with Arkansas. After, you know, losing that game to LSU in a close fashion, they got to come back home and play an offense that isn't as good as LSU's. They might just be beat up from that game. Those games are usually bloodbaths between those two teams. I'm surprised they scored as much as they did in that game, but I was on the right side of that with Arkansas plus 17.5. That's another interesting one that stands out to me.
Mark, I'll tell you, this Gators Wildcats, Florida at Kentucky, I like this Gator squad. I really do, man. They've lost the last 2 years to Kentucky. Kentucky's won and covered both matchups. But I think this Gator defense is underrated. I really do. And Kentucky, look, I know they're 4-0, 3-1 against the spread, but they really haven't played anybody. They're kind of an unknown here, Mark. +3 with the Gators, early kick. I think that kind of tames down the home field advantage. I like the Gators. Anything else on that one?
The other game that I looked at right now, Missouri Vanderbilt over 56.5. I think both of those teams, Vanderbilt can't stop anybody. Missouri should be able to get to 35 on their own. Vanderbilt should be able to get past 20.
They can throw the ball a little bit, Vandy. But you're right. That's not a very good team.
Vandy's offense isn't bad. But again, they just gave up 27 to Memphis. 27 to K-State. So, yeah.
That feels like an over.
Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, short break. More college football full circle on the other side. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid, college football full circle, final segment here. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking it down at Mark Zeno's where you can find Mark. I'm on Twitter at True Martin Betts, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Mark, we were just breaking down some matchups for this upcoming weekend in college football. We got Thursday night, 3 games, Friday night, 4 games. Big headliner there for Friday night lights, Utah at Oregon State. Oregon State, the Beavers, -2.5-point favorites. And then a bunch of great Saturday games, Mark. Anything you want to throw out here before we shut down college football full circle and get to pro football full circle?
No, we certainly have. We're going to downgrade the quality of week 5 in college football after what we saw in week 4. So we'll have to search hard for some good matchups.
Notre Dame, Duke, guys. Notre Dame -5.5 as the road favorite. I think that's very telling how good Duke is. I don't know if I'm going to get there with them, but that Duke defensive front, what they were able to do against Clemson, they might be able to get to Sam Hartman, not all game long, but I was just thinking that number looks short. But then again, I think it looks short for a reason. I like the Gators +3.5 now starting to pop up against Kentucky. I think that Gator team's a little bit underrated, guys. We saw them play very well against Tennessee. Kentucky, in my opinion, just a little bit of an unknown. You know, granted, Mark Stoops, second longest tenured head coach in the SEC, by the way, has done great things in Lexington. It's just this year, I know they got the transfer quarterback from NC State, but they haven't looked all that good on offense and on defense for that matter. A couple more here. New Mexico, Wyoming. I know it's a little bit off the board, but the Lobos going up to high elevation of Laramie. Give me the Wyoming Cowboys to win big in that one. Hawaii, UNLV. It's the ninth island there in Las Vegas. A lot of Hawaii fans in Vegas. But this UNLV team, pretty good. They have knocked off an SEC team in Vandy. So give me the Rebels. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno signing out. We'll be right back with Pro Football Full Circle on Sports Grid.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.